Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. For I have given you an example, and ye should do as I have done to you. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. I want us to take into account in a special way two matters in our prayer at this time. Dr. Don Cook was scheduled to be here for this place in our worship service today. He is undergoing surgery this morning at Rex Hospital. And we want to remember him as one of our family. The doctors have been very reassuring concerning him. This is a corrective measure, and we want to remember him and his family, and the doctors and the nurses who minister to him at this time in a special way. The other object of our special consideration this morning is the body of student ministers going out from this campus and serving a large number of churches in this area. I want to say something later about the ministry of these men in the churches. We have a large family, and the student ministers from this campus are trying to meet the spiritual needs of a large body of people in more than 500 churches in the area. Now, this is a significant ministry. A great deal of travel is involved, and all of us know that this is dangerous. Every student has his own needs and problems. And now, as we bow for prayer, let us remember, each one praying in your own way at first in silence, these two matters. Our colleague and professor, member of the seminary family, Don Cook, and all of these who serve the spiritual needs of people in the churches of this area. May we pray. Lord, help us to understand that we are a part of a large family fellowship. Help us to know the meaning of prayer. And as we pray for one another within our family, may prayer be more than words uttered. We cry out of the depths of our souls for one another. We are concerned this morning about the one who is ill and others whom we have not mentioned who are ill. And we pray thy special blessings upon these. Some who have illness in their families back home, some who have experienced death in their families in recent weeks. We pray for an effective healing ministry and a meaningful relationship between physician and patient, surgeon and patient. We pray for the working of thy Holy Spirit in all of our relationships on this campus. Bless these who prepare sermons and deliver them in the churches. These who go into communities and seek out people and try to be helpful to them, helping them to confront God and to deal with sin. Help us one and all to understand each other, to pray for one another, and to have a meaningful Christian experience from day to day as we try to learn more about Christ and his ministry for us, the church and its place in the world, and the meaning of service in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. I believe in the work of the church. The church is not as dead as some of the prophets of doom make it out. And I think if we can learn on this campus to look at the day-to-day experiences of people in the churches and appreciate what is going on in the everyday life of people and in the relationships of our student ministers to their people in the churches, I think we can take a more optimistic view than we sometimes find ourselves doing. Now, I'm as aware of the problems in the local church as anyone, I suppose. I deal with a large number of problems every time I talk with a pulpit committee. And I deal with a number of these every week. But I'm also aware that there is something redemptive going on in the lives of our people through the ministry of those of you who constitute this student body. I remember the conversation with a man about his church, which was a dying situation, and I know that churches do die. This man was from Georgia. He lives in North Carolina now. I said, where is your church membership? He told me the place in the state of Georgia. Where do you live? Wake County, North Carolina. Why don't you bring your membership to a church in Wake County where you can mean something, I said. Well, he said, it's like this, Mr. Hendricks. He said, we come from an old country church down in Georgia, and our relatives are all buried in the cemetery out there by the church house. We moved away and came up here several years ago to live, but I go back about once a year. The community is declining. The people are moving away. There are only two of us left in the membership of this church, and we got together last year and vowed to God and each other that we will go back once a year and clean off the cemetery as long as we live. We nailed up the doors and windows last year, and the old building is falling down. Pine trees are growing up around it. But we have vowed to stay with each other and stay by the old church as long as we live. Well, now that church is dead. The building is falling down. The trees are growing up through the floor and the roof. And I suppose at least one of those fellows is dead by this time, and I don't know what the other one's doing, but that's a dead church. There is no ministry from this church any longer in that community. I know about a church in this county that has died in the last 25 years, and it didn't need to die. They relocated some roads across the community, and the church was left on a dead-end road down in the forest, the church house and the cemetery. The people debated whether to move out and relocate the church on a main traffic lane across the heart of the community in the new pattern of travel. Some of the people said, we cannot leave these graves down here in the forest. We will stay in this place. They took a vote in the usual democratic manner, and they voted to stay by the graveyard. This month, I have just learned that they have abandoned the whole operation, and the few people who were left have moved their membership to other churches. The church has died, and there is no longer a ministry through this local church to the people of that community. Now, thousands of churches have died like this. But I do not make a general indictment and assume the death of the church as such because a few congregations have made mistakes and lost their vision and their vitality and let their ministry die. And now I want to point out some evidences of the living churches that give us hope for the tomorrows through the ministry of persons who go out from this campus. 3.5 years ago, I went to a church 250 miles west of here, 240 miles west of here, on top of the Blue Ridge Mountains. They had asked me to come and talk to them about getting a minister. I spent 3 hours talking with the committee and a few other members of the church on Saturday night. This was their story. They said, our minister resigned and left because he had nothing else to say to us. An uneducated person who didn't know how to prepare a sermon. He didn't want to learn how. He wouldn't go to meetings. He wouldn't read books. Our boys and girls are going over here and getting an education in this $500,000 new consolidated high school unit. All of their teachers are college and university graduates. This man could not speak 2 correct English sentences in a row. We need somebody in this church who can bring the message of God out of an understanding of the Scriptures, and who can speak to us in a dignified manner a message that is vital and meaningful and that will help us to have a spiritual vitality in this community. One of our students was willing to accept this responsibility, 240 miles from here, starting salary at $1,200 a year. In 2 months' time, the attendance had doubled, the offerings had trebled, and they doubled his salary this third month that he was in the church. They had raised $2,500 in their total budget the year before he went there. They raised $5,000 the first year and $10,000 the second year. And when he graduated last May, they were paying him $3,600 a year. This was one of the most meaningful experiences for a student that I know about on this campus in the time that I've been here now in 14 years. He learned a great deal, and he meant a great deal to those people. I went back to this church a few weeks ago to talk to them about another student minister, and they have called a student minister since that time, this month. The people could not say enough by way of thanking us here at the seminary for the ministry we have had in that village community on top of the mountains in North Carolina. And before the meeting was over recently, an old mountain patriarch who had been bragging out on the yard about his 37 grandchildren, talking as if he owned about two-thirds of that part of the mountains, probably doesn't have $50 to his name, just a wonderful person. He said to me at the conclusion of the meeting, he said, "We want you to know something before you leave. We appreciate what Southeastern Seminary, through our last pastor, has meant to us. We love you, and we want to help the seminary by helping another student to find his way into the ministry." Now, this was no ignoramus speaking. This was a man who has a vital Christian faith, an intelligent man of God, who has been helping to make this church come alive and mean something in that community. I was in a village church about 50 miles from here a few weeks ago, where they have had a series of student ministers from this institution. They have only about 100 members. It's a declining community, and they raised the question with me, "When will some of you denominational workers start helping us to understand how we can consolidate churches? These people are thinking ahead. They don't know how to do some things that they see the necessity for doing out there in the future. And they are looking to students from this seminary to help guide them into the future." This particular church has just called another student. He's getting off to a good start with a broad ministry in the life of the community. They have launched a $30,000 building program, 100 members, about 30 families involved. And they told me that they expect to have the debt wiped out within 3 years. The church means something in the life of this community. And the student minister means something in the lives of the people. One of the most creative projects that I've heard about anywhere in America in the last 10 years was a project by one of our men who graduated last May in a small, unnoticed country church with fewer than 100 members in an adjoining county. He had a ministry to prisoners in a prison camp near his church. And I don't think there has been a more meaningful ministry to prisons in any city or country community in America than this man and some of the lay people in that country church perform. He doesn't get the headlines. He never did. But he has had a meaningful ministry. One of our students was serving a church near Raleigh several years ago. A man died and left a widow with 10 children. One, the oldest daughter, had just married and left home. The oldest son had a job and was making a modest income. The wife did not have a job, the widow, and there were 9 children there with her. They had no property. They owned nothing except a little furniture. The minister and some of the lay people in this community talked about what they could do to be helpful to this family. And somebody suggested that they might provide a house for the family to live in, rent free. And as the conversation went from person to person, it was suggested that the church build a house and maintain it from now on or from then on, and always make it available to some needy family in the community who, because of some tragic situation, would not be able to pay house rent. Those people decided to build a house for this woman and her children. And they did. A house valued at more than $10,000 at the time. And they made it possible for this woman to keep her children in the same school and in the same church and rear those children in a dignified manner. And then the house would be there for another family under some such circumstances. No great publicity was given to this, but here were some people, a pastor, a beginning minister from this campus, and his people, under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit and in fellowship with one another, thinking creatively, using their imagination, sharing their financial resources, meeting a human need in their community. My appeal this morning is to consider the little things that go on in community and family and personal lives, the little things that are the big things in the sight of God and in the teachings of the New Testament, the human dignities and values that count most in life and that make men and women stand up and feel like they are somebody in a world that has gone mad. I appreciate what the student ministers of this seminary are meaning to people. I appreciate the creativity, the dedication, the use of imagination, and sometimes the highly sacrificial services that you are offering to mean something in the development of people and in the ongoing of the Church of Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I hear a prophet of doom speak about the death of the church, I cringe. And then I remember that the church may be sick in places, and some of the churches may die. But the Church of Jesus Christ is going on from victory to victory, and it's going on because of you and you and you. May we stand? O God, point the way for each of us give us understanding. Help us to be creative and useful in all that we undertake. For we ask it in Christ's name.